Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Peace be with you, and I hope everyone had a very Merry Christmas yesterday. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and lots of other platforms. It's the last episode of 2022, and I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more, from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. There are links there not only to four social media platforms, but the Facebook group as well, where you can interact not only with other listeners, but even some past guests from this show. Always feel free to get in touch with me personally. You can email me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. or even private message me through the Facebook page or the Instagram account. I love hearing from listeners of this show, so by all means, please feel welcome to use any of those methods to reach me. Remember also that if you go to buymeacoffee.com/BruceW, you can do exactly what that website address says. This is not a sponsor, by the way, and it's not affiliated with any coffee chain or coffee company. We obviously don't have to be in the same city or state. It's all virtual. In the spirit of the Christmas season and or simply to show your support for what I do each week with Catholic Sports Radio, take a look at that site, buymeacoffee.com/BruceW. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. It's almost a sport in and of itself to watch an athlete be asked by a member of the media about their own goals, targets that they've set for themselves, or even about their own accomplishments. You watch and listen as they take the question and shift their answer onto other people, their teammates, sometimes their coaches too, but they deflect away from themselves. Of course, this is a good example to set, and it's usually something that a good team captain will make sure is being done by his or her teammates. It's going to start off about you, but you have to turn it away toward others. That's exactly what's happening in the Old Testament in Psalm 67. It starts out with asking in verse 2, quote, "May God be gracious to us and bless us. May his face shine upon us," end quote, right? Us, us, us. But what about others? And then there goes the shift onto other people instead of making it about ourselves as it continues into verses 3 through 6, saying, quote, "So shall your way be known upon the earth, your victory among all the nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and rejoice. For you judge the peoples with fairness, you guide the nations upon the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest completed a solo and unsupported 3,700-mile run across America in 2011. During the journey, he ran while praying for intentions people sent him from all over the world. He became one of only a small handful of people to cross the country in this manner, finishing with one of the longest routes in history while averaging more than 30 miles a day over the four-month journey. His book, Running with God Across America, was published in 2012 and details his prayerful journey. He also has a chapter in the book Across America on Foot, which was published in 2020. He has continued to run after his journey, running long distances on his own, in the U.S., and even in the Holy Land. He had begun running at a young age, competing in cross-country throughout high school and recreationally in college, eventually completing his first marathon in 2004. He is currently the vice chairman for Life Runners, which we will hear about today. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Jeff Grabowski.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Yes, thank you, Jeff. You are actually down here in Florida, but this is not where you're from originally. Tell us where you were born and raised, as well as what the family size was.
Yes, I was born and raised in central New Jersey, a family of five. I have a sister who's 3 years older than me and a brother who's 2 years younger than me.
The middle child.
Yes.
What did the Catholic faith look like in your household when you were a kid, and did you attend Catholic schools, or did you get your Catholic education some other way?
Sure. I was really blessed to be born into a good Catholic family. We attended Mass every week. My parents were involved in the parish, and they even had a group of friends that they would get together with periodically to pray the rosary, and for all the intentions of the group. It was really a wonderful experience to witness as a young child, through young adulthood. I went to Catholic school through about fifth grade until I switched over to public school at that time, and then I went to Notre Dame by the time I got back to college.
I said in the intro that you were a runner since a young age. How did that start, and did you participate in any other sports?
Yeah, it was actually really interesting how it started. I was always inclined to be involved in athletics in some capacity, but my mom used to take us as small kids just to the track with her, so she can keep an eye on us while she was running around. So I naturally wanted to get competitive, and I started running around in circles as well and started keeping a little running log and getting competitive with myself, trying to improve upon where I was. So I really enjoyed running. I also played basketball for a number of years growing up, but decided to stick with running. And I ran throughout grade school. I ran into high school. And after that, I ran just recreationally in college at that time. I was quick as a younger kid and even varsity type of athlete in high school, but nothing like an elite level athlete. So it was just more for fun and to try to compete against myself and to do the best that I could.
At the end of this episode, audience, I am going to ask Jeff to tell us about his family. You'll hear that he is a father himself. But Jeff, isn't it amazing how influential parents can be, and maybe sometimes without their children knowing it? Because you just talked about the Catholic household that your parents raised you in, and then you talked about the fact that you got started into running because you saw your mom doing it and you wanted to be like her. So as I said, parents can really be influential to their children almost to a fault, where if you're not careful, oh, wow, now all of a sudden Jeff wants to run too.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And that's really how I picked up on a lot of what I ended up doing for fun. And then also where I found a big part of my purpose in life was really watching what she did, and not just what she did, but how she did it. And you're absolutely right. As being a father, I can recognize that now in my life and trying to be very careful and intentional about how I conduct myself around our kids and how we do our daily routines and how we respond to different situations.
Mm. Well, I want to go back in case the audience didn't pick up on it. You said it very quickly, but share again where you went to college as well as the two degrees that you got there, especially the one that will be of interest to listeners of Catholic Sports Radio.
Yes. Well, I attended the University of Notre Dame. I graduated in 2005 with majors in both finance and theology. Finance was something that I wanted to do in regard to business and what I was hoping my career may turn into. I've always had an interest in numbers and been very obsessed with numbers, so that made sense. And the theology was really driven by, I had a bunch of extra credit hours that I could take, and instead of just taking a variety of things, I decided I wanted to focus on something that I really wanted to know more about and to learn more about. And that's why I just decided to take a second major and focus on theology. And that attitude of wanting to know more really developed even after college. And I've spent countless hours, probably hundreds upon hundreds, reading the Bible as well as other commentaries and listening to talks through programs like the Institute of Catholic Culture to really deepen the faith, to really embrace it as my own.
Mm. And had you chosen Notre Dame because it was a Catholic school, or was it, well, that's not the sole reason, Bruce, but yes, that was one of the reasons.
It was definitely one of the reasons. I was hoping to have that aspect in my life, and I visited. They have a lot of iconic images there, from Touchdown Jesus to the Golden Dome to the Grotto, and I really enjoyed having all that available right on campus. So that was a big part of my decision to go there.
Audience, I was going to stop myself in the middle of the intro, and I was going to repeat an unsupported 3,700-mile run across America solo. Remember that. I'm going to have Jeff tell us the story of that amazing run shortly. But before we do that, Jeff, give us the build-up to that, meaning the distance runs that you did before that.
Yeah, so I can give you the short version. I was working at a running store, and I quit my job so I could train really full-time for this because I had a good sense of what that would take. So I started running 100-mile weeks and 150-mile weeks all the way up to 210 miles a week, which is 30 miles a day, just in getting my body prepared while taking other time to map out the route, get all my gear planned together, and trying to be as prepared as humanly possible for that adventure. And certainly an adventure it was.
So you did a few marathons and then two 100-mile ultra marathons?
Yes, I had run in college. I think 2004 was my first marathon. And when I finished that, I said, you know, these people who do this are nuts. So I actually didn't really run for, I don't even know, about 2 years after that. But it got me again, and I started running marathons again for charity, and even had a pretty bad health scare involving a collapsed lung. And soon after that, I actually did my first 100-mile marathon just, about 5 months after that adventure. So a year after that, I did my second 100-mile and took about 6 hours off my time. And I thought, based upon that and some other things that I can go into later, that I was going to be in a good position to take on this journey, but for a much higher purpose than just for myself.
And audience, I wanted you to hear that, because certainly it would be logical to say, how does he go from, yeah, I ran as a kid because I saw my mom doing it and I started getting pretty competitive and keeping my own times and getting into it in school, to all of a sudden doing this run across America. Jeff, you said in there about a collapsed lung. Was that related to running?
No, it was not. It's just I have these things on my lungs called blebs, and they just pop for no reason. Generally, if you're male, young, tall, and thin, you're more likely to have that. So I was actually supposed to run at a race, I think at the end of August in 2008, I believe, and I went to the packet pickup. I couldn't even walk across the street. I knew something was wrong. So I ended up spending the night in the ER, and they fixed it. But I went for a follow-up a week later back home in the DC area. And when I went for the follow-up, I ended up staying to have surgery to fix it, to take out part of my lung, actually. And I was in intensive care for a week. So I thought my running days may be over at that point.
Wow.
But slowly but surely, I was able to get back and do way more than I had ever imagined before that.
Wow. Praise God. Oof. I had no idea.
Amen.
I did a little, for lack of a better word, experiment of sorts recently. Follow me on this, folks. In case you aren't aware, every Sunday I post a video on the Catholic Sports Radio Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram accounts showing me doing the Ministry Moment segment that will be on the next day's new episode. You wouldn't know by looking at it, especially since it's usually only, 75 to 90 seconds long. But those videos take up a nice little chunk of time for me to make. Sometimes I'm able to make a couple at a time, depending on scheduling. Shh, changing my shirt in between each one. So since you hear me from time to time talking about the amount of time that goes into just one episode of Catholic Sports Radio, I'm talking about things like contacting the guest, all the back and forth emails I trade with him or her in booking it, and then leading up to it, writing the interview, recording it, editing it, posting it on the website and other platforms, promoting it. Anyhow, like I said, since I often talk about all the time that goes into that, I thought it might be interesting to run a stopwatch to see how long it takes me to make two of those ministry moment videos that I post on social media each Sunday. And again, this is making two videos. It does not count the time posting it on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Anyhow, my recent stopwatch experiment revealed that it took me a total of 37 minutes to make two videos, one that was 90 seconds long and one that was 76 seconds long. That setup, recording, teardown slash reset, and everything in between. I say all that so that you understand part of why I ask you to prayerfully consider including Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing. Your financial gift not only helps me with the many bills that I face in operating this ministry, but it acknowledges all the time that I put into all things Catholic Sports Radio, both on and off the air. It also bears repeating that this is all from someone who does not get any income from doing this show, nor do I have any sponsors. I certainly hope that you choose to do it because you like what I'm doing and you feel you're getting value from what I'm presenting to you each week, that it's helping you in your faith life. Even though Christmas was yesterday, you can still make a late gift to my ministry, or maybe it's an early Happy New Year gift, by going to the show website, catholicsportsradio.net, and utilizing the blue Donate to CSR button. It's fast, it's easy, it's secure, and it allows you to put in whatever amount you're comfortable with. It's not going to give you a menu of amounts to choose from. It will even let you include a note for me to see. Alternatively, as you have heard me mention in the past that some have opted to do, you can write to me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net to request the information for sending me a check through the mail, maybe a belated Christmas card. Regardless of which way you choose to make your gift to this ministry, it means a lot to me, period, because it tells me that the work I'm doing is making an impact, and it certainly helps me pay the bills that I have for Catholic Sports Radio, which I otherwise have to try to find a way to cover out of my own pocket. As you've heard me do on past episodes, I will happily say the name of anyone who makes a gift to this ministry. As some have opted to do instead, you can choose to remain anonymous. Please know my sincere gratitude for listening to the show, for telling others about it, and for supporting the work that I do in my ongoing efforts to move more people closer to Christ through this ministry. Okay, Jeff, so take us through the story of the Run Across America. How did you get the idea for it? And then, of course, share with us about those four grueling but prayer-filled months.
Yeah, it was really interesting, and it's funny how oftentimes in life we can look back on things and see how God was using those elements to prepare us for what was next. And I don't have time to go into all the details, but you've talked a little bit about my history of running and then going further. So even though I thought those 100 milers, hey, this is the pinnacle, this is the max of what I can do, and I'm thrilled with how it went, there's something inside me that you know, a little bit more is required. And after I had run a marathon for charity in D.C., I think it was only my second one, the feeling of doing something for somebody else or for a cause that was dear to me was more rewarding than anything I had tried to do for myself prior. Hmm. So my natural inclination was, what can I do that's huge, that would be like the biggest thing possible, and to use it for good? And I thought, wow, running across the country may do that. But I just thought that sounded a little too crazy. So I kind of filed it back in my mind. And eventually, I couldn't ignore it anymore. I really felt called to it. I was praying about it a lot. And I just got to the point where I couldn't ignore it. And this wasn't me trying to do something for my own glory. I felt like God was calling me to do this and to do it for him. So what I decided to run for, instead of trying to raise funds, was I took prayer intentions from anyone that would want to send them to me. And I would say a decade of the rosary for each intention that people sent me. And thankfully, the story got picked up, and I ended up having thousands of intentions. Mm. from all over the world, not just the U.S. I had to actually have people translate them for me.
Wow.
But for the run itself, I started January 20th, 2011, out in Oceanside, California. It's the feast day of St. Sebastian, the patron saint of athletes who have a devotion to. And I had a stroller, a baby jogger with just all my supplies in it. No baby, obviously. although I did get pulled over by cops multiple times because people were reporting a guy running on the side of the road with a baby. But those are other stories. But I just, the reason the mileage is so long is I just marked out where I knew people across the country. And that's how it ended up being, you know, a longer run of 3,700 miles. So I stayed south through Phoenix, where I had an aunt and uncle, even through Oklahoma, where my sister-in-law's family was from. I ran up to Notre Dame, where I went to college, as mentioned before, back to the D.C. area, where I had family, and then up to New Jersey, where I had grown up, and my mom passed away in 2006, so I was able to stop by her final resting place. And then I finished in Long Island, New York, on the south side in the Atlantic Ocean, near where a college roommate of mine had a running store. So I had different, you know, checkpoints along the way where I was able to visit people, kind of feel refreshed. And there were large stretches in between. I just mainly either did motels or I camped, or people would hear about me on a program and reach out to me and say, hey, if you want a place to crash. So it was amazing. I ran into so many challenges, weather related. You know, I had snow, I ran through a dust storm, I ran into wildlife, I ran into a mountain lion on the border of California and Arizona. I spent 3 days in the desert. And all this, I mean, I can talk for hours about the stories and about people watching how much food I put down each night, but the items that stick out to me when I think of the whole thing was the people that I ran into. And yes, it is a solo and unsupported effort in that I had my supplies, I didn't have a crew or anything, and you know, I pushed my stuff across the country, but I felt so supported through the people that I ran into. I mean, there was just like some quick examples, like a lady who was working at a gas station who obviously didn't make that much money gave me a $20 bill because she saw that I, you know, was needing help and she wanted to assist. And constant stories like that where people that seemed to not have very much were so willing to give, and it really gave me a new outlook on life and about how I should be more generous with the gifts that I've been given. It was just so many stories of the right people at the right time showing up and offering me a glimpse into the goodness that really exists in this country.
Oh, wow. Wow. And as much as you were praying for all the people that had sent in intentions to you, I'm sure that you had loads of people who were praying for you along the journey.
You're absolutely right. And that's funny how things work out like that. But I had a horrible back problem. Like when I got to the D.C. area, actually, I ended up going in for like an MRI and they wanted to give me like some steroid injections and everything else. And I was off the road for a few days because I could barely walk. I actually had to like crawl across the floor and upstairs at one point because I couldn't move my legs at all. I had a couple bulbous discs in my fine. It was just bad news, but I had so many people that I had been praying for reaching out saying, hey, you know, we're praying for you. I think you're going to get through it. And I mean, it was miraculous because on a Sunday morning, I just felt like the call, hey, get up and go. I was like, what do you mean? I can't even walk. Like I had tried to get out and I couldn't do anything, but I was able to kind of get through walking that day. And then the next day I did a walk jog and then I was able to run the final, you know, a few hundred miles, 400 miles, I think, from there to the finish. So really miraculous stories all the way around praying for me. And I heard so many stories of people that I was praying for that had miracles of, you know, people that were unable to get pregnant that suddenly 9 months later were sending me pictures of them with their little one. And these people were like 40 years old that had been trying for years or decades or illnesses that, you know, miraculously had like lesions go away. A number of things, obviously not everything, but enough that it was too obvious to account for it any other way. So I just felt so blessed to be involved in that.
Fantastic. And the part of the story, folks, that I picked up on very, very early on was when I asked Jeff, why did you do this? How did you get the idea for it? And he talked about that he had done these long runs for charity and thought, there's more that I could probably do. It made me think of a homily that my spiritual director gave one time where he talked about WWJD. And he said, you always hear people saying, what would Jesus do? He said, but I like to extend that out and say, what would Jesus do for the Father? And the answer, of course, is anything. And so here's a case of Jeff saying, well, what more can I do, right? What more can I do in my faith life for my Heavenly Father? And Jeff said to himself, I would do anything for him, including running all across America. So great story. And yeah, he keeps saying, I can't get into it now. I don't have the time. So obviously, don't forget about his book. I will put a link on the show page for this episode on CatholicSportsRadio.net to his book on Amazon. It's called Running with God Across America, published in 2012. I often talk about a spiritual hangover. You know, you go to a big worship event, a contemporary Christian concert, and you're on fire, and then the next day comes and you have that spiritual hangover. I imagine, Jeff, that you must have really been pumped about what you had just done, Running with God Across America, but then gotten the spiritual hangover. Was the book a way to ramp back up some efforts to evangelize further?
I think it definitely had a big part to play in that. I had started giving a lot of talks at events or schools or things like that, and people always said, when is the book coming out? So part of it was just to give them an answer. But to your point, it was a really great way to evangelize and to tell my story and the stories of those that I had run into. And it was a way to just express a lot of those small details that I had either forgotten about or didn't have time to go into. And I've had a lot of great conversations because people have read it and wanted to discuss certain things. So it was a blessing of a way to do that. But it was just, you know, the finish of that run was really just the start for me, even in my own spiritual journey. So it's has been a journey, and it continues to be one.
And as Jeff was telling us the story, folks, about that long run, questions were coming into my head. And I always say, if I have these questions, I know that when you're listening to these interviews, you have the same questions. And that's why I'm trying to anticipate them and ask them on your behalf. But in this case, it sounds like the book will probably answer a lot of those questions for you. As Jeff said, we just don't have the time for him to go into every detail of the story. He was running for 4 months, for Pete's sake. Jeff, talk about having done a long-distance run in the Holy Land.
That was an amazing story and one of the many instances where I've really felt that God has me right where he wants me. The short story of that was I was actually unemployed at the time, and my wife and I were doing a novena to St. Joseph for employment, and I added in, I would love to go to the Holy Land. I'd always wanted to go there. I was actually planning to go. Had saved up money when I met my wife and decided to use the money to buy her an engagement ring instead, which I would do 100 times over. But I wanted to ask for that. And it was only about maybe 4 or 6 weeks after that novena, I got a phone call out of the blue from someone involved with the Department of Ministry of Tourism from Israel and said, hey, we're having this Bible marathon in October. You know, we'd love to have you go. And of course, it should not have been a surprise, but in some ways it was just like, wow, you know, God, you're just amazing that out of all the things I can ask for, I asked for it and you provided the way and the means. So I went there and I'd like to say I ran that marathon, but it was more of like a survival because I was not in good shape and the entire marathon was uphill or up mountain, I should say, but it was beautiful. I got to go to, you know, the holy sites of Christ's crucifixion and burial, and just being there and seeing where Jesus walked and being able to visualize when praying the rosary or the sorrows of Mary, visualizing exactly where these events took place. It was just such a deep spiritual encounter for me that it was no question in my mind that was just a beautiful gift from God to be able to do that.
And how. And so to bring it to present day, I mentioned in the intro that you are currently the vice chairman for Life Runners. What is that?
Life Runners is a fantastic pro-life nonprofit. Again, the short version for this is I actually ran into the founder of Life Runners on April 1st of 2011 during my run. Mm. And there's a whole story behind that. But they only had about 70 members at the time, and now we have over 20,000 involving all 50 states. And I think we're up to 42 or 43 countries. It's hard to keep track of. But we're called the Life Runners, but I like to say the best part of it is running is optional. Really about half of our members actually run. Mm. The only thing that we ask our members to do is to wear, get the t-shirt and wear it on the back. It says, "Remember the unborn," Jeremiah 1:5. And the idea behind it is that most, like they've done studies on about 80% of post-abortion mothers said that if just one person had been encouraging to them or they had seen one encouraging message, they would have chosen life. Mm. So the idea behind this is that we become walking billboards for life, and we can help prevent abortion by being that message and by wearing that life-saving message for a change in our culture. So that's the short version of who Life Runners are, but I've been involved with them since 2011 on the board, I think since 2013. And now my cross-country run I did on my own has inspired a relay that we've done for the last 8 years or so. Maybe it's even a little longer by now, but it actually forms a crossover the country, east to west and north to south, in little 5K segments that people can sign up for, and they can walk or run it. So it's all on our website at liferunners.org.
Just tremendous. Just tremendous. And because I have such a loving heart, I have to let you close with talking about your marriage. You told the sweet story about the money that you saved and used it for the engagement ring, and you would do it all over again. How long have you and your wife been married? And then share with us also about the children that the two of you have.
Sure. We met in 2012 and had kind of a short dating from August till November when we got engaged. Then we were married April 6th of 2013. So we've been married almost 10 years now, and we have four children. Lucy, who's 8, Charlie, who's 7, Joey, who's 5, and Vincent, who is 2. So it's a busy, full household, but we are very blessed. And there's lots of challenges with being a family, especially in today's day and age. But I'm certainly blessed to be in a beautiful marriage and have a beautiful family that I do. It's something that I didn't really know or think may happen because of a bunch of different things that had happened in my life earlier. But again, God just continued to bless me and bring me through difficult times to things that were much better than I could have ever even imagined or planned for myself.
Mm, so beautiful. So beautiful. Jeff, so great to have you on the show. Thank you so much for coming on Catholic Sports Radio. I really appreciate the time, enjoyed the conversation, and God bless you and your family.
My pleasure, Bruce. Bless you as well.
Folks, as a nod certainly to the many, many, many years that Jeff has spent as an athlete, let's close this week's episode with an athlete's prayer and do it, of course, together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Help me to play the game, dear Lord, with all my might and main. Grant me the courage born of right, a heart to stand the strain. Send me a sense of humor, Lord, to laugh when victory is mine, to laugh if I should meet defeat without a fret or whine. Give me the grace to follow rules, to fess up when I'm wrong, when silence or some other thing wins plaudits from the throng. When foes are tough and fighting fierce and I am getting weak, dear God, don't ever let me show a broad, bright yellow streak. And teach me, Lord, life's game to play just one day at a time. With Thee as coach and trainer, Lord, real victory must be mine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak. Have a happy, healthy, and blessed new year. And remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.